Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett and I got Kyle here with me today.
That's the way it should be. Brett should be first.
He looked at you too like he was going to say your name first.
I know, I saw him. That's all right.
You never know what you're in for on each episode. Well, today we don't have a special guest today, but we do have a lot to talk about as we are coming off of Pastor Sam giving a great message this past Sunday. It's always nice to have him back to share with us some of the things that the Lord has been speaking to him about. And then we also had a couple other things going on this week that we'll probably hit on a little bit later. So we're just going to leave you with a little bit of suspense on what that is. But Kyle, you want to give us an update on the facility?
Yep. No update. Wow, that's mean.
Talk about going off the dome. Seriously. Question off the dome for a response off the dome.
No, it's in the hands of the owners. Everything is ready to go. We're just waiting on them. Not much else I can say. So it's not us holding it up. So
that's exciting.
Anytime. I'm at peace with it. I'm like, okay, whenever it happens, it happens. So
that's exciting.
All right. I just wanted to see if I could throw Kyle under the bus for reals this time.
No, I'm good.
Okay. So like we said, Pastor Sam gave a message this past Sunday and he titled his message Storm Watchers, right? Because a lot of the theme of his message was about when storms come, how do we respond and how do we experience going through the storm? And so I think that's a topic that a lot of us can relate to. Just things don't always go the way that we want to in our lives. And I think it was cool how he pointed out just some of the different ways that the Lord has been teaching him and showing him how he wants us to respond in the storm. What do you think, Brett?
I did listen to it. We're recording on a day where I had enough time to listen to it before we recorded. So
basically he's saying he's going to take over the show and he's got a lot to say.
No, I'm saying now my dad doesn't have to worry that he thinks I'm making something up that I wasn't a part of, but I really liked it. I liked how he explained Jesus' response and the question of kind of getting to the heart of the matter of like, why are you afraid? I find myself kind of looking at a lot of my life and what I would say either like the symptoms or kind of the surface levels of things, but kind of diving deeper into what is causing some of those things or what is causing my reaction to the storms. It was a good point of reflection to look and ask. And then just a reminder of like having our eyes fixed on God and Jesus and knowing who he is. I think there's been a lot of themes that have been similar, and Pastor Sam's message, I think, fit right in with that and gave good perspective to the idea of watching the storm and focusing on it versus is that what God wants us to focus on and look at?
And even just talking about the foundation, right? It's while you were just sharing it, it makes me see in my own life and I see in other people's lives when the storms come, we focus on the symptoms too, or like the things that are getting hit at instead of like what are the root issues or the root things that are going on. And I think it's, you know, like sometimes it works, you put a Band-Aid on it and it's fine, but then sometimes you're trying to put a Band-Aid on something that needs stitches and then it doesn't work. So just hearing him go over those different things. I mean, the foundation was big. I enjoyed it. It was challenging and it was like, oh yeah, I've seen where I've done it a good way and I've seen where I've done it a bad way looking back.
I think one of the parts of the message that really stood out to me was when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and the storm came and he was sleeping, right? And the disciples wake him up and say, you know, how can you be sleeping? Don't you care? you need to save us from this storm. And Jesus basically told them, why are you guys afraid, right? Because they're looking at the storm. But I think for a lot of us in our Christian walk, that response is kind of what people look to as being a good thing, right? Go to Jesus when the storm comes. Go to Jesus when the storm comes, right? But then Jesus is saying maybe there's a different way. So I thought that was kind of an interesting dynamic that he pulled out when he was reading that story. Just that from my perspective, they're doing the right thing. They're going to Jesus saying, Jesus, get me out of this, right? Like, we don't know what's going on. Save us from this storm. Help us through this. And he's looking at them like, wait, what are you guys doing? I thought that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does anybody else wonder how in the world was he sleeping? 'Cause, I mean, if they're like ready to die, I mean, that in a boat back then, that's got to be
crazy.
I mean, how are you even not falling on the floor or rolling around? I mean,
I know, Jesus didn't even get motion sick.
Took his Dramamine and he was drowsy. That's
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting how he had talked about when before the storm came, they were on land, right? And he said, we need to go to the other side.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so knowing that Jesus is taking them to the other side, that should have given them the confidence that they're going to get there, yeah. Because he told them we're going to go to the other side. And that's why he was saying, like, why are you afraid? I already told you we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So even the storm isn't going to stop us from getting there. Right. Where for them, because they're looking at the storm, they're not able to stand on that foundation of, oh, this is what the Lord said, so it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting dynamic that Sam pulled out that I'd never even looked at before, because I think for me, it's like they're doing the right thing. They're going to Jesus. So So where is this coming from that Jesus is kind of rebuking them in this situation? I thought it was kind of cool picture that he gave, like when the Lord tells us that something's going to happen, when we pursue it, there might be times where the enemy comes in to try to get us to doubt or to try to get us to think that we're going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. But when the Lord says that we're going to do it, we should stand firm in that and have that foundation of, okay, like the builders, he said it, I'm doing what he said, so I should have that foundation of it's going to happen.
It's interesting. It reminds me a little bit similarity to just right now my journey in I rephrased it to not that I don't hear from the Lord or I can't hear or I'm struggling to hear, but I'm recalibrating how I hear from the Lord. I've talked to both of you about it, and one thing that I not that I didn't take into consideration before, but could be a little bit more relevant, is kind of like in the same way that the disciples were focused on the storm, even though they had been told a word from God, we're going to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe in the beginning of the journey, they're like, okay, so that's what we should look to. That's what he told us, right? And then in the middle of their journey or some point, the storm happens. And now they're focus is shifted to the storm. Mm-hmm. And they do go to Jesus, which, like Pastor Sam said, isn't bad, but what he was calling out in them was something different. And so a parallel that I see is, like, sometimes God does speak to you or give you a word, and then you're going about your day or the season that you're in, and you're trying to hear from him. I don't feel like he's speaking to me. I don't feel like he's telling me what to do or whatever. Kind of the revelation to me was like, what if God's like, I already gave you my word.
Mm.
Like, are you going to follow it? Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's like, instead of having to keep almost like having your hand held and all these checkpoints, it's like a test of faith too, of like the word that I gave you, do you believe it to be true? Mm. If so, then like, keep going. And then, you know, the enemy might do different things, but in a similar fashion, is that going to distract you or cause doubt that what he said is not going to happen or come to fruition or not where he's leading you. And so, yeah, I can relate to the disciples in the fact that there's times where I think especially now, okay, I'm getting a sense, but it just doesn't feel the same that the way that God speaks to me. And then it's like I'm trying to seek him and I don't feel like I'm getting anything. And it's kind of like God saying, you know we're supposed to go, so go. And I'm like, well, I just want extra like affirmation or am I doing it right or whatever. But part of it is like, trust who I am. Okay. Trust that I made you and I put you in this place. So kind of like move forward. It's like giving me permission. Move forward with it. You don't have to stop and get distracted or second guess yourself or whatever it is. Right. And I'll meet you there. And so it's like, okay.
He's like, you're stressing out. I'm just taking a nap over here.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're sharing that, it just makes me see the parallels with just maturing in general. Like when young kids, they need reassurance over and over, like, am I doing it right? Am I okay? Are you there? And then as they get older, they should be getting better at doing it on their own, less check-ins. And, you know, as they become adults, it's like, well, you can figure it out. Like you've been through these things and you have to know how to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that kind of parallels with our spiritual journey as well. It's like when we're young and immature, so to speak, that we're new in our faith, that we need those more constant reminders. And then as we get further along, it's not that God pulls away and says, no, I'm not going to be with you. It's like, no, you've had the experience. You've had, you know, basically like the life experience and my interactions with you, and you need to kind of depend on those more and just trust that the word I gave you hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wants us to know that we're maturing and that we're not just staying the same as we were before, but we're continuing to grow, we're continuing to mature. So part of these testings is to let us know, hey, we're in a new season, or we have grown. We're not the same as we used to be. Because I think it's very easy for us to go through long seasons and say, oh, I'm still the same as I used to be 10 years ago. But sometimes we need some of those reminders or some of those tests just to show us, like, no, I would have responded to this very differently before. I am different. Because it's really easy for the enemy to continue to tell us, like, nope, you're still the same as you used to be. But really, we're different.
Yep, so I got the growing pains going on right now. that's what I'll attribute it to, but it is a good reminder. And I think that also in certain ways should, even if it feels unclear, give you more confidence, because that's also God saying, like I see you and you're ready to like level up. Mm-hmm. Or I see you and I trust you. Like, so I'm empowering you to continue on, right? Because like when you're a kid, the reason why your parents have to hold your hand more or whatever is because there is a level of like they don't know yet. So I can't trust them to make this decision, or they're not able to see a greater, mature level. They're not able to have as broad or as good of an understanding. And so they need more direction. And so in the same way, God is in certain ways giving me or whoever more freedom and saying like, no, you're where I need you to be. So keep going. And so that should be a boost to, okay, God, like I'm in a good place. God is pleased, and he's not like he's hanging me out to dry, but he's saying, no, you're good.
Well, it's like with the understanding that he knows your maturity level and that you're not going to just pull away from him in that season either. He's pulling away in a sense because he knows your maturity level is good. Like, hey, just stay close to me. And when I need to give you directions or need to give you something, I will. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you heard me. You know what I'm asking you right now. So just stick with it.
Yep.
I think it's really cool in these kind of stories from the Bible, though, too, because we see ourselves in the disciples, right? It's like they were with Jesus. They were with God for, around 3 years. And they were still knuckleheads, right? You know, it's like they saw these things, and right after a major miracle, and then they're doubting, and then they're this, they're that. And it's like, okay, all right, like, I'm on the journey, I'm on the path, and, you know, watching it on The Chosen, too, they bring it to life on, you know, on film, and it's like, oh, man, yeah, I can relate to their growth pains, but then also Jesus's frustration, and it's like, oh, my gosh, when are you guys going to get this, you know? And so it does bring some sense of, like, all right, yeah, it's a journey, and, you know, can't get stuck in the sprint mode. We got to be in more of the marathon mode, right, Damon?
Yes. Why you got to bring that up? You're throwing me under the bus now too, Kyle.
How is that throwing you under the bus?
Because yesterday I got an email saying I didn't get into Boston Marathon.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
That the
just means I got to try again.
Did it miss by much? Or did they tell
you?
Like
5 minutes.
Oh, wow. So it dropped quite a bit.
Yeah, there were a lot. They had to actually change the requirements. They made it faster for the next year.
Oh, wow.
Because too many people are fast now.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kyle.
I didn't know, man. You just got to share your junk. That's all.
Well, speaking of sharing junk, and
that's a good segue. There we go.
and new seasons. So one of the other things that happened this week was that we did have a little gathering for some of our ministry leaders at our church, and it was a little gathering just to kind of get everyone up to speed on some of the new seasons that we're in. And we felt like it was supposed to be something that we did before we move into the new facility. So we had a gathering. It was a Friday-Saturday gathering with some of our ministry leaders. And the theme was surrender. And so...
That's a fun theme.
Yes, it was definitely a stretching weekend. And I guess we will talk a little bit about it this weekend. So first, I think it would be cool, like Brett didn't have as many responsibilities as he's had in the past few retreats. So I wanted to see, Brett, how was it for you coming in more of a participant's role as opposed to like a serving role?
Well, before you jump in, like this, just for clarification too, this is like a part two. We had a staff and elders one in August, and then we felt like, okay, it needs to expand to like lay leaders, ministry leaders. And then it's a shift that we're on as a church. And so... That's kind of where this kind of originated from.
Yeah. For me, it was nice to not have to be responsible for her so much. But it was still challenging in the way that, I mean, just the theme of it, even though I knew going into it, this is what it was going to be about. It doesn't necessarily make it any easier. I think my focus and awareness was kind of more geared towards the response, how the rest of the leaders who are stepping into this and hearing some of this for the first time, how is it sitting with them? Where are they at in it? And I'm very proud and thankful that a lot of my leaders and people that I'm associated with in small group and different things were there. And it really warmed my heart to see that and to know that even if people are wrestling with things or they have questions still, or that it was like, oh, okay, but since we're all here, it's something that we can talk about and continue to walk together and moving forward. And so it was nice to be able to receive and participate and really kind of be in it with everybody else that's just receiving from it, to kind of be like a, like kind of like, The idea I get, and it's not, I'm not a boss, but like when undercover boss, like when he goes into the with the workers,
yeah,
right? It's kind of like you get to see from their vantage point and perspective and sense, like, what is the temperature, or what's the gauge going on?
That's what I was thinking. You're like our staff spy.
But it was really cool to I think that the one of the biggest impressions that I took away was how ready they were to respond. Mm. Like, that was really like, oh, okay, that feels good. And I do want to give both of you a shout out and everybody who was responsible for something and had more of their hands in, because just in your obedience and the ways that God led you in each of the sessions, I was like, yeah, I felt like it couldn't play out any better the way that it did. And so props to you guys and the rest of the people that, you know, took a step forward and led in a way that was new, that some of it was unknown, and going into a tough theme and concepts and being vulnerable and open. I think that was like honoring to God. And then he was like, okay, I got you. And it played out how it did. And so that was cool for me.
Yeah, just to give a little bit more background, for this retreat, we had three sessions. And so it was the theme of surrender. But the overarching theme was wholehearted surrender, mm-hmm. like not holding certain things back. So we started off by having the thought or the theme of who are we surrendering to? Mm-hmm. Like, if we don't keep that in the forefront, that surrender, it's not just about the act, it's about who is it unto. So Ross and I led that one. An awesome testimony by Steph as well that really impacted people. The next session was bringing things to the light. That was led by Damon and Dale. And again, very vulnerable sharing, very impactful for people. And kind of what I felt, a lot of that was breaking shame, being able to share things in a way that, you know what, if the leaders can share things, and then we had small groups, then people felt empowered. Like, well, if they can share their stuff, then I can share my stuff too. So, and then that led into the third session, which was presenting yourself to the Lord, which more of like a consecration theme that Jerry led. And again, so yeah, I felt like, you know, we came up with the themes in the directors meetings and with the elders too. And I felt like the way it progressed was really the way it was supposed to go. And I affirmed that the way the leaders that were in attendance responded just made it even deeper and more rich than I even expected.
Mm. Yeah, I was not expecting the readiness that we experienced by everyone, because especially knowing that it's a short retreat, some of the things that were thinking about planning on doing, it's like, are we moving too fast? But it seemed like everybody was on board, and I was very pleasantly surprised by how receptive and how ready people were to move forward. And you might be wondering why this theme of surrender, why are we talking about surrender in this leadership gathering? And part of it came from our staff elders retreat that Kyle referenced earlier. And one of the things that we were talking about is, as we move forward into City on a Hill, we felt like the Lord is asking us for a deeper commitment to that and being on board with what it looks like to be a city on a hill, whether it's could be using the facility more, being at the facility more, stepping into more of who he made us to be, things like that. And we felt like, oh, it's a commitment thing. But then as we were at our leadership staff elder retreat, one of the things that Dean had talked about is that a lot of churches will start with commitment, and they'll say, oh, we need people to commit to this. We need people to commit to this. And, you know, people can respond to that in a good way and commit. But when the starting point is commitment, it only lasts for so long. Mm-hmm. Really, it needs to start with surrender, because when we're living and we have a posture of surrender to the Lord, then that commitment will follow. So a lot of it really has to do with our heart posture. And if we get our heart posture correct, then the commitment will just follow. So that's why we felt like for this gathering, we wanted to move in that direction before we ask for commitments or any of that type of stuff, just to say we need to have our heart posture correct. And we feel like the surrender posture is the direction that we need to go for us to really fulfill who we need to be for City on a Hill.
Yeah, that theme, surrender, and I mean, yeah, coming off of that retreat and into this one, there's definitely a lot to unpack, and I think a lot for people to wrestle with, but I really like how it is, I don't want to say phrased, but how it's laid out in the whole, you know, with a greater surrender, the commitment will follow. And I also see that in the process that we talked about earlier, right, in like hearing God and how the disciples were and stuff. And part of that in the testing and in the perseverance or the continued intentional pursuit of what God is doing, it's easy in that when you get distracted or when a storm comes or something like that comes, to then all of a sudden you want to just grab back onto it and hold tighter, right? And so the surrender is like not a one-time thing that we kind of talked about at the retreat. Like, it's not just, okay, I did it and now it's done.
Right.
But it's like at certain points, at continued times, when similar things come up, when bigger things come up, it's a continued surrender. It's a continued, okay, God, like I'm going to hold this loosely and lay it down at your feet. Or, okay, this is really bugging me now. Okay, God, how do you want me to, like, I need to let it go, or I need to, you know, not let this be a distraction or obstacle that gets in the way, but I'm going to surrender even my wants sometimes, my desires, what I think is best. I feel like it should be like this, and leave it up to the Lord. And so I really sense that theme in my own life. And yeah, just even more as we process it through these different retreats and meetings and yeah, even the sermons and the messages, I think that surrender idea, to get to a place of whole heart surrender, is really huge.
Yeah, maybe we can go a little more personal for our experiences too. I thought it was interesting having this kind of theme at the staff elders. And then I'm like, oh, what's it going to be like doing it again or doing it a second time? And it was interesting for me. There was parts of it were uncomfortable at our first one, or it was just, okay, this is different. I'm not someone who gravitates towards change. So it's like, it felt good. It felt needed, but it was uncomfortable, or it was just awkward in some ways. And then this one, it felt different for me, like, because we had already processed through it once. And then I think like the barrier of shame of, shame and different things like that were lessened, and it was easier for me to share things that before I would have been like, nah, I'm good, I don't need to share that. And I think that was reciprocated, or that was felt by the, and in my small group, I know it was felt, and then it made it easier for them. And so I thought, oh, this is a journey for us as a church, but really it needs to be for our culture, or the Big C church. Like, we need to get better at doing this, and then these things won't. Okay, because honestly, a big thing that came up was sexual sin. That was a big theme, both retreats. And it's not something that gets talked about in church much. It's not something that gets volunteered to be like, oh, yeah, I'll talk about that. But I thought it removed weights, it removed barriers, because it started to get, the shame started to get broken. How was it? How was it for you guys?
Where do we go from there?
Well, how was it for you guys? Like, because we've been to both of them. I mean, I think for the people that came to this one, it was like, oh man, our leaders are different. Because I think we got impacted pretty significantly at that first one. And so we took on that role of, okay, we need to bring that now to the next tier. And so how was it for you, Brett, like seeing it from one to the next?
It definitely brought more clarity in terms of what does it look like for us. The first staff and elders, it's a little bit more like out there in the sense of what is God and how is he working kind of like in the spiritual and then in, you know, what's going on. But some of it is still pretty like broad in a big way. And then it was more of like specific people connecting with certain things. Mm. But I think you guys did a really good job of honing in on, okay, for us specifically in our church and our leaders and where we want to go, what is the key things? And so I like that it was not so specific where it was narrow, but mm-hmm. it had more of a focus, mm-hmm. a clear focus, I would say. And so I do agree that sexual sin was a big thing. And I think the other thing that connects with it that I don't want to branch off too much, but as a staff, we're going through the awe of God. Mm. It really correlates to like God's holiness. Mm. And when we bring things into the light, like what that holiness does, mm. right? With shame and with sin and with struggle and things that we hide, like, it can have a pretty strong hold over us, mm-hmm. whether we feel like we've dealt with it or not. Mm-hmm. But bringing it into the light in just that way, yeah, the way that God can flip the script and, mm-hmm. and it becomes something that is empowering, that, you know, freedom and healing and inspiring to others, like it ignites other, like, just that shift is huge. And I think one of the big things is the ways that each of the leaders were vulnerable in that way was like the tone setter to allow God to work through everybody. And so personally, it was interesting to be able to like just kind of sit back and process a lot of it and see it. It affirms some of the things that specifically my wife and I had talked about, like a new season for us and what does that look like, and the theme of surrender is like, okay, we gotta like hold things more, like we gotta let go of certain things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so kind of getting a active opportunity to do that felt like good timing where we were able to just step in because it's kind of been something we were already talking about. And so I know it was impactful. And then to be in the small group too, just to hear from other people, it was like, you just feel a different level of connectedness to, of support, of oneness of family when it's like, not like nothing to hide, like, oh, you're hiding stuff from me, but just like a willingness to go there and be there with those people and meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. It's a different level of like I see you and I understand and I still choose you and love you and I'm here for you. It just brings that, yeah, different level of weight too, of there's a heaviness, but then there's also like a connectedness and freedom and like wanting to be for each other. And I think I really experienced that within our small group and sharing.
I think it just highlighted something else for me, for our listeners to know, is that when we had Dean and Carrie at our staff and elders one, they emphasized when somebody shares vulnerably or somebody puts it on the line that you respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we modeled that
mm-hmm.
On the staff side. And I think that affected people as well. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, if I do this, I'm not just going to get hung out.
Yeah.
And like, now what? You know, it's like, oh, okay, we need to stop now. We need to affirm.
Mm-hmm.
How does the Lord want you to respond? And I thought, yeah, okay, I knew that before, but to see it in action and see it on the spot, like, okay, yeah, I'll reach out to that person later. It's like, no, we need to do it right now because mm-hmm. they're in that vulnerable place right now. I thought, oh, for me to see that in our staff elders one, and then for us to do it, it was like, oh yeah, this is the way relationships are supposed to be done.
Yeah, because the enemy almost even makes it seem like that's silly. Like,
yeah, yeah,
you're gonna respond by saying, "I accept your apology," or you know, I give you permission," or like, yeah. But it's like there is some weight and power to it.
Absolutely.
And both people are on the same page. There's no assumption. It's clear. And now it's like, okay, we feel connected. We feel, yeah, that strength. We feel God's covering over that. And yeah, there's a lot that comes with it that's almost like an indirect result of some of that explicit response and willingness.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pastor Barry said it, that one of the biggest things that holds us back from bringing things to the light is that fear of rejection, or that fear of being shamed, or whatever. And that breaks that part too. And that's, I think, huge to set the tone of like, oh, this is a safe place. We can do that, and people won't turn their backs on me. They'll actually embrace me.
Yeah, I think that sense of family of God really came through this weekend, especially because it's different than the way that the world experiences, right? And I think it's different than the way the world experiences the church even, right?
Yes.
Because the expectation that a lot of people have is, okay, if I go to the church, they're going to condemn me for all the things that I did wrong. They're going to shame me, and then I'm not going to fit here. But kind of the feeling of this weekend was, when people were able to bring their stuff, they were able to experience the Lord and his forgiveness, or even through the other people, and then experience a kind of a freedom, like, I don't have to hide that anymore. And then a sense of community, because these are people that will receive me in all my junk or in all my good, just how I am, they'll receive me, and we can walk together. And there's a more of a depth of that connection. And I think that's really what the world is searching for. They're searching for like that depth of connection, but they just don't know where to get it from. And the church, Big C Church, has not been good at that in the past. Because so much of the focus has been on sin and righteousness, and that kind of too far to one side, that people just feel, I can't even go to the church and be real. So where can I find that?
Yeah, I mean, to take that thought a little farther, though, then I think things rebounded the opposite way, where then it was all about grace, and then we lost the others. That's kind of what we're going over in the Awe of God study too, and just having that balance, it just highlights the importance that even us in this weekend event, it's not, oh, I'm here for you, I understand what you're going through, you can stay where you're at and keep going through it. It's, yes, I'm there for you, yet I want something better for you, because that's what God wants for you. So it's it's a tough balance, but it's like I have the empathy, I have the compassion for you, but let's not stay there. Let's help each other, you know, move past things.
And really, I think it gives us a more clear lens of like how God sees it.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Because God gives us the grace, but he's also like, that doesn't mean I want you to just stay there.
Right.
Right. I want you to turn from it, and I want you to follow me. But then when we do make mistakes, or we do bring those things, he's not just like, his grace is not just like a, oh, it's okay, you could just continue in your ways like that. It's like, no, I what I want for you is more, is greater. And so like, come on, like, I died for you. So like, come on. And so it's a good model for us to be living that out, right? And be able to, in a way, model God and in his character in that way with each other.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer you want to go on this, but I do want to highlight to our listeners, if you were one of the ones that attended this last event, I just want to call out that you're different and that people should see something different in you. And if you weren't there, you should start seeing things differently in people. Like things, people should start not behaving differently, you know, but you should just sense that, oh, there's something different about that person. Like they should come up to you, Brett, and be like, oh man, there's something different. And to me and to Damon. And it's in a sense that seems like, oh man, that's kind of a lot of pressure. But really it's like, no, God did stuff in this weekend and we need to be challenged to take it forward. We can't just be like, oh yeah, that was a good weekend and we're good. And then after a month or two, it's kind of like the shine is worn off and it's like, oh, I kind of forgot about it. It's like, no, there's a reason we went through these types of things, especially as a group, that we all need to then start carrying that forward.
Yeah, you know, the past few episodes we've been talking about how we are in a new season. We just had our 18th birthday, so, you know, we're in the adult years of our church, and I think this is just one of the steps, kind of like a marker for us to see, to recognize that we are in a new season. Things are going to be different, but it's not going to be to the point where we, like, forget and lose what we had in the previous seasons, right?
Oh, sure.
Our culture of grace and mercy will stay, but we're going to be in a different culture in terms of we're going to be willing to go to some of those places that we weren't willing to go for before because we were bound by this false harmony that we had before. But we're going to have more of a unity because there's going to be more depth of the connections because people are going to be willing to go there. So, you know, we are in a new season, and it is because the Lord is taking us to this new place of stepping into being a city on a hill. And so it's a really exciting time for us as a church. But I think too, as we've talked about, you know, we started with staff elder retreat. Now it's been ministry leaders, but these changes are not just for the leadership groups. Mm-hmm. These changes are going to trickle down and it's going to be for the whole church. It's just leaders need to be a little bit ahead. So we're starting to move forward at the leadership level, and it's going to come down each level. And so some of these changes that we've experienced, it's exciting time for everyone in our church, not just
for the
people that were in attendance.
Yeah. I was going to say for the listeners that weren't there, just to be encouraged that through the staff and elders being able to go through it, being walked through it by another church staff, then the staff and elders were able to walk with our leaders through it. And now, right, our leaders, our staff, our elders are going to be able to walk through it with our whole church. And so not to scare people that, like, it's coming, but, like, I think it's, like, don't feel left out in the sense of, like, no one's getting left behind. Right. It's just the ways that we can kind of, like, pass it on or walk with each other in it. You know, just God directed it to be this way. And so, I think also an encouragement to any of the leaders that were out there, like, because you are different and the way that God did move, you can walk with other people in that same way.
Right.
You can extend the ways that God has worked in your life, has changed, has opened your eyes to things. You can now spread that to others that maybe weren't able to make it or weren't there. And so, it doesn't just stop when it's over, like you said. Like, now it's about continuing to live it out. And that includes sharing it with others.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with what you said about no one's being left behind. Yet at the same time, things are moving. Mm-hmm. And if you don't choose to follow and jump on board with where God's leading us, then you might feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of like, we're sensing the Lord moving a certain direction, and because of that we're taking these steps, but that means that he wants our church to go a certain direction. So my challenge is, hey, as you see things changing, as you see things that are different and the Lord prompts you, especially like, I need to change things, I need to step in different ways, I need to, you know, do things differently for me personally, for my family, for my faith, and just hey, jump on board.
Yeah, and I think it's exciting because we're starting to see some of the first fruits of that. Because as we're seeing, you know, like we've all shared, I think we were all very pleasantly surprised by how ready people were to engage and to really dive into this weekend in very positive ways, and people are ready. So, you know, that's exciting. It's exciting because I think as a church, we're more ready than even we think we are, or even we're even anticipating. We're more ready, and it's because of the way that the Lord has led us in the previous season that we're ready to move into this new season. And I think that's, to me, that's the biggest takeaway from this weekend, is that people are ready for what's coming, and the Lord has prepared us for what's ahead. And so really it's just taking that step and saying, okay, the Lord says we're ready, so let's go. Let's go.
I mean, yeah, for me, the other takeaway I have is just, we have a really good group of leaders. And what a blessing as a church body, as a church family. Like, we have a lot of depth of maturity, a lot of depth of, from this week proved a lot of depth of vulnerability, but a lot of love for each other. And so, yeah, just I'm excited for this next season and where it leads.
And this will be my only hint for me speaking this Sunday.
Yes.
I think the other thing.
Teaser alert.
I think the other thing that was really cool was, I think in some of these places, it feels like God's not there. Especially when we talk about like darkness and, you know, bring things into the light and surrender the things that we have to give up, or I have to make changes. It feels like God's not there. And so there's a tendency to want to hold on to those things almost, because it becomes safe, or it becomes what we know. But this weekend, it was very evident that like God is in there, and he'll meet you in that place. So that's all I'm going to say. Otherwise, I'm going to have to change my entire message. And maybe we would just have a whole service of ministry time and that's it. But it's cool to know that in taking these steps, like, God goes before us and he meets us where we're at.
Yep. Steps of faith, learning to build our trust and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And really a lot of it's just heart posture, right? The Lord wants us to have a soft, humble heart posture. And when we do, he can do a lot. He can do a lot when our heart posture is in that place. And that's why we had this retreat or gathering about surrender, because when our heart posture is surrendered to the Lord, I mean, a lot can happen in us, through us. There can be a lot of transformation. But when we're holding so tightly and we want control, then we're going to get what we're able to control, and we're not allowing the Lord to really do the transformation. So having a surrendered heart posture, it's the direction that he's leading us in, because he has big things in store for us and things that only he can do through people that have a surrendered heart.
But especially when it's the whole heart, right? I think that's where we found out that it's, my heart's surrendered. I'm good. It's very soft, but not this part. You know, it's like, that part's off limits.
Because we can give 100% of the 80%.
Yeah.
But it's that last 20% that the Lord wants.
Yeah, that's the cool part.
So we did a lot of deep talking today. Hopefully you were able to take something out of it. We're excited for the direction that our church is going. We really feel like the Lord's hand is on everything, even in the midst of thinking that we were going to sign a lease last week and it still hasn't been signed, but we recognize that the Lord is working, and the Lord actually had something for us in that too.
Yeah, and I want to encourage our listeners, if you have questions about the stuff we're sharing, come up to a staff person. Ask them, hey, what was this like? Like, maybe the way we're saying it's not clear to you, or it leads to like anxious thoughts, or like, I don't know, I don't trust like where we're going, or that kind of thing. It's hard to just relay it on a podcast. So yeah, come up to any staff person and
go ask Damon or Kyle.
I just say, why'd you add me into that? I was just gonna say Damon, but okay, ask Pastor Barry. He's always
Pastor Barry, because he's not gonna be here this Sunday.
But yeah, just ask somebody, because I think, you know, we don't want you to feel like you don't know what's going on either. And that's why we're trying to share this, what we are experiencing, because it's really fun. It's really cool, but it's going to take some time to digest.
Agreed.
All right. Well, I think that's a good lead out for us. So thanks again for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.